Hey, I've got a really important question to ask you today. Yeah, as a believer, how's your prayer life? You know, that's a question that that I often ask when people have the opportunity to come and we have these chances to sit, whether it's a counseling session or whatever it may be. And usually when I ask that question, hey, how's your prayer life? We kind of get the, it's not as good as it could be or not as good as it should be. Well, you know, today we're going to look at some passages that come out of Matthew's gospel in regard to instructions in prayer. Now, as you think about that in regard to your prayer life, you know, why is it common for believers to struggle in the area of prayer? Listen, if that's you, I don't want you to feel bad about yourself. I want you to understand that you're not alone in that struggle. It's a common struggle. And believers do, they struggle with this. And today, I hope and pray that as we go through God's Word, we'll have the opportunity to see some practical steps that you can take to overcome obstacles to having an effective prayer life for yourself. So, you know, grab that Bible, pay careful attention, and we'll see you here in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Trust and pray that your day is going well. I mentioned just a little while ago that we're going to be looking at passages that are probably going to be very, very familiar to you today. They come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. This is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. If you spent any time whatsoever in or around church, this is probably one of those scriptures that you memorized along the way, or this is one that you have heard repeated on different and varied occasions wherever you may go. There are times I've heard it at ball games. I've heard it in group settings and group meetings. And I hope and pray that you will learn some things today in regard to the Lord's Prayer as he took those times and moments to teach his disciples how to pray. So we're going to look at that passage. If you have your Bible, it's going to be Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading at verse 5. Again, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. It says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Verse 7, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, we're again grateful and thankful for just this opportunity to come into your presence. Father, I pray that as we take these times and these moments together to look over your prayer, how you taught your disciples to pray, Lord, that we would see prayer in a different light. I pray that we would learn some things today that would help us on our journey to have a true and effective prayer life. So, Lord, just be with each and every one of us. Open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, I pray, as always, that you would be with this, your speaker, for these moments, that as we lift you up, that you will truly speak to your children. We know that your Holy Spirit wants to do that. Lord, today, may we truly strive to have a more effective prayer life that will draw us closer to you, and, Lord, that will provide the peace that comes only from you. So, bless our time together, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Yeah, today in our text, what we're seeing is that Jesus is preparing his disciples by teaching them how to pray. Now, you have to remember the time frame and the setting. Jesus is on earth. He's incarnate. He's walking in body. And the thing about it was, his disciples were there, and his disciples saw Jesus praying. He saw that it was something that was important to him. It was something that he did earnestly. If you want some examples, you can look at when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the times that he went there to pray. You look in the New Testament scriptures, and it talks about how often he would draw himself away from the crowd so that he could spend time with the Father. Now, you got to remember, too, that when you pray, you are praying to God the Father. You are praying through Jesus Christ the Son. Jesus is what gives us access to God the Father. I think that's a critical point that too often we forget. When we are going in prayer, we are going to God the Father, but we're going through Jesus the Son. That's the only way that you can get there. Now, so his disciples are wanting to learn how to pray. And he gives them some very interesting commentary in our scripture today before he set out to give them the Lord's Prayer. And I think this is something critical. Let's go back to our text, Matthew chapter 6, and particularly verse 5. And notice what he says right out of the gate. Right out of the gate, he says, "And when you pray." Notice he didn't say, "And if you pray." He said, "When you pray." Now, as a believer, there is an expectation. God has an expectation that you and I have a prayer life. That's how we communicate with Him. So it's not, well, if you do this. No, it's when you do this. Now, I want you to notice that that's not the only time that He said that. In verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, be not like the hypocrites." Verse 6, He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room." And then in verse 7, "And when you pray." This is a repeated phrase. This is not something that the Lord was saying, well, okay, if you decide that you have time to be able to do that. No, it is an expectation of a believer. It is the expectation of a Christian that you do pray. And that you do pray, as the Word tells us, without ceasing. So he didn't sit back and say, well, if you guys have time and decide to do that. He says, "And when you pray," verse 5, "you shall not be like the hypocrites." Now, let's define hypocrite for a moment. Most of us know what that is, but a hypocrite is somebody who says one thing and then does another. What they're saying outright may not be exactly the way they would act or react or what have you. You see that, and in fact, you hear that a lot. If you are a believer and you attend a church, and maybe you're talking to a friend or coworker or neighbor, and you say, "Hey, listen, man, I'd love for you to attend church with me," and they say, "Well, I don't want to go to church because churches are full of hypocrites." What's happened is their life is not reflecting what they supposedly believe as they come in, to the church, or as their everyday life does not show that they are walking with God. So back to verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites." He said, don't be like them. They're the ones that turn people off. He says, "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men." So he goes on and he gives a little bit about those hypocrites. He says, they like to pray standing in the synagogues. They're the ones that you see in church who want to give this long, flowery, I'm trying to think of the word that I'm thinking about, this exquisite prayer that uses those big 50-cent words that most people don't understand. And they throw a lot of these and thous in them. And you know what I'm talking about. You've heard it many times. You've sat back before and said, well, that's not the way you talk. You seem to be a little bit different in that regard. But it says they like to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. In other words, where they are going to be seen by men. That's exactly what that verse follows up by saying, that they may be seen by men. In other words, what's going on is they are not doing sitting there praying simply because they want to have communication with God, or that they're crying out to Him. They are doing this that it may be a public spectacle. And I don't say spectacle in a way often we think about it, but in other words, that they may be seen. You know, they want people to walk away saying, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, that guy right there is a praying man. That person right there knows how to get in touch with God." You know, it doesn't have, at that particular point, it has nothing to do with their communication with God, and it has everything to do with how people perceive them, and they want to be perceived in a good way. So what they are at that particular point is they are mere words. Now let me go back to verse 5 once again. It says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you," and this is Jesus talking, "assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." In other words, the Lord says, for the people that are going, "Boy, that's a praying person right there. That's a praying man or woman," or that person is very, waxes eloquent as they pray. Jesus said that's all the reward they're going to get for that, because they're doing their praying for all the wrong reasons. Okay, so then he goes on down in verse 6. Now remember, all of this is to preface when he begins to teach them how to pray. Verse 6 of our text says, "But you," once again, "when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Now, there's a whole bunch of things we can point out in that verse. Once again, he mentions when, not if you pray, but when you pray. He says, "Go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father." Remember what I said a moment ago. When you pray, you are praying to the Father. You're not praying to Jesus. You're praying through Jesus to the Father. He says, "Shut your door. Go in that quiet place." Many of us have used that term before, quiet time. You know, I have my quiet time here. And I often will refer to that as the time that we spend in God's Word or reading it. But prayer is an element of that. You know, do you go into that secret place, that private place, that quiet place? Well, what this is telling us here is he's giving us instruction. He says, go into that secret place. And your Father who sees you and hears you in the secret place will reward you openly. In other words, you're not trying to wax eloquent for those who are around you when it is you and God mano a mano, and that's the way He wants it. One-on-one. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. I am not against public prayer by any stretch of the imagination, as long as it's genuine prayer, as long as it's not something that we're trying to, like the hypocrites, wax eloquent for those that are around us. We're not trying to be wordy with fancy words and those type things. But when we go to the Father, sincerely and honestly, even in a corporate way, that's a good thing, okay? But as far as the private time, God is saying, I want to meet you in that private and that secret place. And I want us to have a conversation just one-on-one. Now, as he goes on in verse 7, he once again reiterates, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Now, what happens in that is so often we get these phrases and we like to be repetitious with phrases, and we teach our children. How many times when we taught our children to pray did we teach them the blessing? And, God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for our food. By His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. Or some sort of a little song. Now understand my heart. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that as you are teaching your children to pray. But there comes a point and a time when your children need to move past that. They need to move on to honest conversation with God. Because what happens is we get to the point where that something like that blessing becomes simple. And I don't want to necessarily call it vain. The word in verse 7 calls it vain repetition. In other words, what have you done other than gone through a ritual? Have you really, really, when you bowed your head to give thanks or to give say grace over your food, did you really sit back and say, thank you, Lord, that you provided me the resources by which to purchase this food? And thank you, Lord, for those hands that really prepared the food. I'm really thankful for that. Did you sit back and say, Lord, you know what? I've been hungry before, and I'm really grateful for the bounty that has been set before me. You know, what happens is often we get in that trench or that ditch, often called a rut. And we sit back and we use that vain repetition because you and I have been there before where we've sat around in a restaurant with friends and family and all of a sudden we started eating and somebody said, hey, did we say the blessing? Well, you know, if you get to that point and that's what you're saying, then obviously it didn't mean a whole lot to you. You went through the motions. And folks, we as Christians can be so guilty of simply going through the motions, and as the word calls it right here, vain repetition, that's empty, that's meaningless. God doesn't want that. That's not what he wants from us. Let me go back and read verse 7 to you again. It says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. In other words, the same thing as those who we read about in the previous verses. They sit back and think, well, if I make my prayer long, if this is a 15-minute prayer during a worship service, or if this is a 15-minute prayer around the table, I laugh when I think about that because every one of us have been there and we've heard that, and you're sitting there and that fried chicken smelling really, really good, and you got that one eye open and you're like, is my brother ever going to finish with his prayer because we're hungry? You know, it's trying to just gain recognition and say, wanting somebody to say, oh man, that was a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Well, yeah, it may have been, but was it a meaningful prayer? I mean, did it come from straight from your heart to the heart of the Father? Yeah, the Lord doesn't want vain repetition. He doesn't want us to simply go out there. And I'm going to say something that you may or may not think that it's controversial. I know that there are times when you go to sporting events or places like that or different teams that get together, and they will get together and they will recite the Lord's Prayer, okay? Nothing wrong with that. But for me, I sit back and I think, you know, why are you just simply reciting an outline that God gave us? Why can't we make it more personal when we are together as that group or those groups when we say that? And I know often as, you know, people sit back and say, well, that's just one that everybody knows. Most everybody knows, you know, the Lord's Prayer. But would that not be considered just vain repetition if we're just getting together and repeating the same verbiage over and over again? You know, some people might sit back and go, oh, that's cool. They're having prayer before they go out and enter this athletic event or whatever else it may be. But listen, there's nothing wrong with bowing your head and just saying a straight up, heart to heart, honest, heartfelt prayer to God Almighty. Back to verse 7, it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Okay? And then he drops down in verse 8 and he says, therefore, do not be like them. The Lord's saying, that's not what pleases me. Don't be like that. You know, it's kind of like, I think God sometimes feels the same way we do when we know that there are people in our lives like that. And all of us at some point in our lives have been there, and you know, maybe in church and the preacher calls on a brother to pray and you're like, oh, why did he call on him? We're never going to get out of here. Or if you're sitting at the dinner table and it's like, we're never going to get to eat because Uncle Carl's going to be saying the blessing, you know, and it's going to take him 20 minutes to do that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And Jesus is saying in verse 8, don't be like them. And why? He says in verse 8, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Now, sometimes people sit back and say, well, if the Lord already knows what I need, then why should I even ask him? You know, think about it as a parent. Most of us that are watching this broadcast, you have been or are a parent. And, you know what it's like to want to be able to do for your children. And you also know, what it's like to want to be asked. David had mentioned at one point back years ago, and I can't remember whether it was him that did this or whether maybe one of his parents. I'm just going to, for the case of our illustration, just say that it was him. And he bought a bicycle. Maybe for one of his daughters or something, and was keeping it hidden. It was going to be for Christmas, but he said, now after I bought the bicycle, the thing that I wanted to do is figure out a way to get her to ask me for a bicycle because I've already got the provision. I already want to provide it for her. Folks, God knows what we need, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't want to hear from us. As a parent, you know what that's like as well. You want to be able to do for your children, but boy, it sure is nice every now and then for them to voice the things that they need or voice the things that they want. So Jesus goes on at this point. Now, you got to remember, this is all the preface to him actually getting into the verbiage of teaching his disciples to pray. So in verse 9, he actually gives them an outline. Now, I want you to understand the Lord's Prayer is exactly that. It is an outline. There are elements in this prayer that if you and I want to have a better prayer life, it's not about just every day getting up and reciting the Lord's Prayer. It's about taking the elements of the outline that he has given to us and formulating them into our prayer life. So this is what he said. And most of you know this in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, when you go back, and most of you probably recited that right along with me. You didn't have to read that. But there are certain things and certain elements that we see, in the Lord's Prayer. So as you think about that and you consider it, what are those things that you see? Here are just some of the things that we see in the Lord's Prayer. In that prayer, there's praise. When you go to the Lord in prayer, are you praising him? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. That means holy is your name. When you go to the Lord in prayer, do you pause, particularly at the beginning of, to say, hey, Lord, I really want to thank you for the fact that you're great. I want to thank you for what you've done. See, we're even trying to teach our children that when we teach that blessing. God is great. God is good. That is praise. Lord, we're praising you. Do you go to him in praise, or do you just go to him with your want list and say, all right, God, this is what I've got. This is what I want. Here it is. So one of the things that we see in there is praise. Does your prayer life include that element, particularly right at the beginning? Then there's intercession, where we pray for other people. We're interceding on their behalf to the Father. Are we lifting up those in prayer? Such examples of that are the prayer list that those of you who are part of Central Baptist Church are privileged to. You hear us take prayer requests. It's one of those things that's put out on our website. It's also put out by Bonnie through email. So we can intercede. We can lift other people up to the Father. There's petition. There's confession. And remember what we said. As we do our Bible studies, I've always said, look for some examples to follow. Here are some examples to follow. As you make your prayer life personal, does it include praise? Does it include intercession? Does it include petitioning the Father? Does it include confession? Are you going to him and confessing your sins before him? Are you asking him? And I love this. I love this one thing that we often forget when it comes down to the Lord's Prayer. Remember that part of the verse that says, particularly verse 10, it says, your kingdom come. In other words, God, your kingdom as in heaven, what you want here on earth, your kingdom come, your will be done. We want to do it your way, God. See, that's hard for us to pray oftentimes because we don't necessarily want to do it God's way. We want to do it our way. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what does that mean? We want to see God's plan that he's already gotten made up for each and every one of us in heaven. We want to see that executed here on earth. Then that makes sense? So when we pray, it's like, Lord, I want to pray in such a fashion that it brings about the will that you already have in heaven, that it might be executed right here on earth. Man, this is a great example to follow. If you don't get anything else out of this, get this today. The Lord's Prayer is a model prayer, which basically means it's an outline. And if you're jotting something down, this is what you want to jot down. In your prayers, be sure you include praise, intercession, petition, and confession. And use those four things as to build your outline of prayer. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking. Some of you may be saying, well, prayer's not that complicated. It should come from the heart. You're absolutely right. It should. But that doesn't mean that these are not elements of an effective prayer life. So I want to challenge you, particularly if you're struggling in the area of your prayer life, include those four things. Once again, praise, intercession, petition, and confession. Use that as an example to follow. Not my example. The Lord gave the example. That's when he was teaching his disciples to pray. You know, when we pray, it's important to spend some time giving thanks to God. We want to be a grateful people. You know what it's like in your life to have people in your life that are not grateful. You know, maybe you give and you give and you give, or you do and you do and you do, and you're like, just once, I'd like for them to say thank you. You know what we're talking about. You've got people just like that. Now, obviously, what does God think and how does God feel when we come into his presence and all we're doing is just bringing our list of stuff? Now, don't get me wrong. Bringing your list of stuff is perfectly fine. That's what God wants us to do. But he wants us to be able to do it in a way that means that we're praising him and that we're worshiping him. Okay? Just like daily Bible reading. Prayer is a vital spiritual discipline that we need to exercise, and we need to do it not only on a daily basis, but as often as we can. I love how the word says we need to pray without ceasing. Okay, so you know, as we're coming to an end of our Bible study here together, yeah, I want you to consider something. I want you to think about something that you learned from this study today that can help you to have a more consistent and faithful prayer life. What are some of the things that the Holy Spirit put on your heart that we were just talking about that he's pinpointed and said, here's the number one thing that you can start doing to give you a more consistent and a more faithful prayer life? Now, as you're listening to the Holy Spirit, as you acknowledge that to him, start to put some steps in place. Folks, we're really good at coming up with plans that we never execute. You know, execution is part of the planning process. It doesn't do any good. You can have the best plan in the world, but if it doesn't get executed, then it's useless. So take what the Holy Spirit has given you today through his word and seek the Lord in how you can execute this in your life so that it becomes a daily and hopefully more than once daily part of your life, your prayer life, and your walk with our Heavenly Father. And I guarantee you that you will see some incredible things happen along the way. God says, look, go in that secret place and shut that door and spend some time with me, and I'll reward you. You know, what I hear in secret, I will reward in an open way. And remember, you know, one of the big things, the Lord didn't say, and if you pray, but he said on multiple occasions, and when you pray. Are we a praying force? I believe that's the only thing that's going to change our society. I believe that's the only thing that's going to change the things that need to be changed in our lives, around our lives, in our churches, in our country, in every way. We have got to be a praying people. There is power in prayer, and I think too often we have kind of taken the power of prayer and we put it in a box and closed it up. I mean, prayer can't be held in the context confines of a box. There's so many incredible, great, and wonderful things that God can and wants to do through our prayer life, and so that He might get the credit and the glory for it. So I trust and pray that you've learned some things today that will improve your prayer life as we go forward, beginning right now, not just later, but beginning right now. So we need to pray for one another to be faithful in the daily spiritual discipline of prayer as well as our Bible study. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Right now, I want to tell you what your Bible readings will be for this week. We're going to change it up a little bit. This week, you're actually going to be reading Luke's Gospel chapter 12 through Luke's Gospel chapter 16. Once again, Luke's Gospel chapter 12 through Luke's Gospel chapter 16. And next week, we will look at To Hell and Back from the book of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, we're so grateful and thankful that you didn't just leave us out there to figure everything out, but as you gave us the privilege of hearing the conversation with your disciples as is recorded in your word, you taught them how to pray. You taught them the elements that you so desire when we come to you in prayer. And Father, you didn't ask us if we decide to pray, but you said rather when we pray. May we truly take that to heart. May it be a part of who we are. And Lord, if not, may it be a challenge that we rise to, so that as we pray to you, it becomes something that becomes a sweet, sweet savor to you, and something that becomes easier for us to do. Help us to include the proper elements in our prayer so that we might be praying to you more effectively, but Lord, in a way that is pleasing in your sight more than anything. So help us with that, Lord. May it become a part of who we are, and may you do incredible things for your honor and for your glory. So Lord, give us a great week. Send us to somebody who needs to hear a word of encouragement, somebody who needs to hear about the saving grace of your only begotten Son and our Savior. And then Lord, we pray you'll give us the words and the courage that we need to be instruments in your hand to see others come to you. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Hey folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you do not have a church home, please come see us. We would love to have you join us for a worship service. Our worship services are on Sunday starting at 10:45. Come on down. Be a part of what God is doing and wants to do. We would love to see you here and actually be able to shake a hand or put a face maybe with a name. But at any rate, come join us this coming Sunday, Central Baptist Church, 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, right across from the Military Academy. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday.